We are sorry for the issue with the kiosk again, so we will try to get that fixed, but you know, you can do it the old-fashioned way.
Oh, yes.
Just get in your pocket, put it in a plate, but we don't pass plates either, so Chris, would you stand back there with a bucket and they'll just give it to you, okay? I mean, okay. Well, we've been talking about the Great Commission, and last week we talked about what it meant to be a disciple. And a disciple is a pupil. A disciple is one who learns, but a disciple is one who begins to teach. Well, we're going to talk about baptism today, and baptism truly is more than just getting wet, okay? A lot of people go through the motions. A lot of people have been baptized. A lot of people go, well, why'd you get baptized? And they're going to go, well, because they told me to. Well, that's not good enough. We want you to understand fully why one goes through the waters of baptism, and I pray that this whole little slideshow would help you understand in a different way. The Great Commission comes from the book of Matthew, and it's chapter 28, and it says that Jesus came up and he spoke to them. Them is the disciples. There are theologians, there are people who teach that the Great Commission was only given to that group of disciples. Well, that doesn't make sense, because the ideal is for us to go out and make disciples so that they will make disciples, so that they will make disciples. And now we are the disciples from this group that originally made disciples. If we don't make disciples, then the Word of God quits. And that's truly what Satan wants, but that is not in any way what the Lord wants us to do. So Jesus came up, spoke to the disciples, and he said, all authority, not some, but all authority had been given to me in heaven and on earth. And then he gives the instructions, go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And then he makes a promise, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the age. Now, the term authority is important to a Christian. We do not have power over Satan. And everything that Satan does is a task to either steal, kill, or destroy. He does not want you and I to succeed in this life. But our God, through Jesus Christ, has given us authority, and the word authority in the Greek is the word exousia. And that word specifically means official right or power. So God gives to you and me the right to be and use his authority as we go out into this world. A little while ago, someone asked if we would go pray for someone. Well, when we go, we will take the authority granted to us by God through Christ to pray for these individuals. Now, the disciples were instructed to go. But the key is, what were they instructed to go on? Well, it was the basis of the authority that was given to them by the Lord. And where were they to go? To all the nations. And when they went, they were to enlist people to be followers of Jesus Christ, and those who believed were then baptized. Now, again, this is where we get into baptism and why do we do it. Now, Matthew, again, it's the same. It's a great commission, but it says baptizing them in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Okay, why do we want to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? The disciples were given the authority to baptize in the name of the triune God. Okay, that was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, the believer, after we have prayed to receive Christ, have a relationship. You have a relationship
with God, who is the Father. You have a relationship with the Son, and you have the relationship with the Holy Spirit, and you're going to find out the importance. Now, the Great Commission has one command, and the command is to make disciples. But making disciples has three participles in the Greek, three different things. One is to go, one is to baptize, and one is to teach. So those are three things that we as Christians have to do. Now, the word baptize comes from a Greek word, baptizo, and phonetically spelling it is B-A-P-T-I-D-Z-O, and it is baptizo. And the definition means to dip repeatedly. It means to immerse, or it means to submerge. All different kind of denominations. I grew up Lutheran, went to the Catholic Church, and we were sprinkled. And I remembered that when I prayed to receive Christ, I asked the pastor, I said, I've already been baptized. Well, there's two things that are important. You know, one is there's no really reason to be baptized till you have made a profession of faith. Well, as a child, you know, mom said you were christened. I'm like, great, wasn't there. Yeah, I was there, but I was small. I don't remember any of it. Well, here's your little gown. Great, but I still don't remember, okay? But what we have to do is get to a place to understand why we do what we do. Don't just come to church and, again, expect or accept what a pastor says. Go home, look at it, research it, understand it. So the definition of baptism means to dip repeatedly. It means to immerse, or it means to submerge. Now, there was a Greek poet and a physician in 2000 BC, and he probably painted one of the greatest pictures, I believe, of what baptism really is. So in order to make pickled pickles, okay? The vegetable, he said, should first be dipped, which comes from the Greek word bapto, into boiling water. Then the pickle is taken out, but then it is baptized in a vinegar solution, okay? Now here's what happens. Both verbs, bapto and baptizo, concerns the immersion of the vegetable in a solution. The first is temporary, but the act of baptizing produces a permanent change. Okay? Now, let me get this straight so we're all on the same page. Do you have to be baptized to be saved? And the answer is no. And here's why. On the cross, when Jesus was there, next to him were two thieves. One thief made fun of him. The other thief said, would you save me? And Jesus said, surely today you will be in paradise with me. Well, the key is if baptism was a condition of salvation, then he would have had to be baptized, and he was not. Now, again, that is still Old Testament, because Jesus had not died, Jesus had not ascended into heaven. Now, we live under a brand new covenant, and I want you to see something about the change that it's supposed to make in someone's life. Now, in the New Testament, this word more often refers, when we talk about baptism, it refers more to our identification with Christ than it actually does about water baptism, okay? Now, Mark 16:16 says, he who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. Should we be baptized? Yes. But when you begin to understand the reasoning behind it, you would go, okay, I want to do it. See, there must be a union with Jesus. A union that creates a real change in our life just as much as the vinegar creates a real change to the pickle. Just going into that water does nothing to you and me. And a lot of people will go into the waters of baptism because their friend did it or because they prayed to receive Christ. And some pastor says, you need to be baptized, but they have no clue what they're doing. And that's not good. Never do anything till you understand why you're doing it. Will you understand the totality? Sometimes not. Kind of like praying to receive Christ. Did you understand it all? No. The more we mature in Christ, the more we understand. Now, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Bible tells us if anyone is in Christ, the key here is in Christ, then he is a new creature. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if your spouse calls you a creature, no longer get mad at him, okay? We are all creatures, okay? But it says that the old thing should pass away. Now, if you have prayed to receive Christ, and for me, I prayed September 12th, 1990, from the 12th, or the being 12 years of age till 38, I stayed drunk. That's where I was. When I prayed to receive Christ, I have never had a drink of scotch again. Never, okay? But the Bible tells us that when you pray to receive Christ, when you are in Christ, the old life is gone. But then it says, behold, a new life has come. Now, as the pickle to the vinegar creates a change, then a believer to his relationship with Christ should also create a change in our lives forever. Okay? Now, we're not going to discuss, and it's not my right to judge, but all I can say is if you have prayed to receive Christ and your life has not changed, then I would suggest that you go back to Christ and sit down and talk to him to go, okay, am I right? Am I wrong? Did I do it? What are the reasons? Because it says that we become new creatures in Christ. Now, the baptism process begins when the candidate, whoever has prayed to receive Christ, is asked if they have ever asked Jesus Christ, and the word is confessed, that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. Now in Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says that if you confess, so if is a condition. You have the right to do it, you don't have to do it. But if you do it, if you confess with your mouth, okay? Now, we joke about it. We know how to use our mouths. We used them differently before Christ, okay? But now there's a different way we use our mouth, and the first way begins when we confess that Jesus Christ is our Lord. What does Lord mean? It means that he becomes number one and that you and I become number two. It means if he tells us to go left, we go left. It means if he tells us to go right, we go right. If we pray and we don't get an answer, don't move till he gives you the answer. But he becomes the leader of your life and you now move to a position lower than what he is, because he is above you. So it says, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and it says you'll be saved. For with the heart, a person believes, resulting in righteousness. Now, righteousness means that we have a right standing with God, okay? Prior to the Lord, you can't get close to God. But because of God and because of Christ and our relationship with Christ, we now have the accessibility to truly go in to the throne room of grace and commune with our Lord. And then it says, with a mouth he confesses, which results in salvation. Now, the definition of confess in the Greek means to tell, it means to make known, it means to admit one's guilt, and it means to acknowledge sin to God. The Bible says we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, Matthew 10 and verse 32 says, therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before the Father who is in heaven. So this passage is that Christ has now ascended, sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, but whoever denies me before men, I will deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Okay? So again, God is in heaven. Christ is here. Christ is trying to talk to his disciples. Christ wants us to live a different kind of life, but it says through baptism, we confess Jesus Christ as our Lord before men. Okay? Make sense? All right. If you were being baptized, I would ask you in the waters of baptism as you look at this crowd. Now, I wish I had a camera on all you guys, okay? Because if you're in there looking out here, y'all are scary, okay? Y'all will scare anybody, all right? When I look at you, y'all are scary, okay? But not only does the candidate have to look at you guys, he has to or she has to confess with their mouth that, yes, I have come to that place in my life where I've asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of my life. And I got to tell you guys, that's a big deal. I mean, you know, you're in the world and now you're trying to change your life and someone asks you in front of all the people, have you come to that place? And the reason that we do that is if you're not willing to confess Christ before men, then he's not willing to confess you before the Father. And we shouldn't be afraid. Because, see, one of the keys about baptism is, and why we want people to do that, is it's not about y'all. It's truly about the one who gets baptized and his relationship with Christ. Because, again, if you're afraid, we've all been out to eat dinner and someone goes, well, you know, the big guy upstairs. Who's that? You know? I mean, if you can't say Jesus, shame on you, you know? But he's not called the big guy upstairs. He's either called God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit. And you and I have got to get to the place, in all honesty, to have the boldness to go, God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, without being afraid of what someone might think, all right? So, after you say that, then we will say, upon your confession of faith, we will baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Well, why do we do that? One, we want you to understand that now you are truly a part of a relationship that you never had before. You have God, you have Christ, and you have the Holy Spirit. And then what we will do, we will immerse. We will submerge that person under the water. We will raise them back up, and then we will say, buried with Christ in baptism, but raised to walk in a brand new life. Okay? Well, do you understand what it means to be buried with Christ in baptism? You understand what it means to have this brand new life? Some of you do. Candidly, some people go, no, but I did it because you wanted me to do it. And I pray today that you understand the totality of what God wants us to do. In Galatians 2:20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ, okay? And it is no longer I who live. When you pray to receive Christ, Christ moves in, okay? He sets up residence with you. But if you're still living in the flesh and still doing the same old things you used to do, then in all honesty, you have not been crucified with Christ, because your flesh still lives. And when we pray to receive Christ, it is the flesh that has to die, okay? Because flesh is controlled by the evil one, but our spiritual life is truly controlled by the Lord. And it says, and the life which I now live in the flesh, okay, we still live. Last week, we used the scripture where the Lord said, please don't take them out of the world, leave them in the world, but I'm going to send them out into the world just the way that you sent me out. So our task is to go into the world and do what? Make disciples, okay? So, but it says, now I live in flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who gave himself up for me. Now, the key for all of us here is that, you know, we can't go into the world on our own. You have to go with what we started with, the authority of the Lord, going, I'm going to give you the authority to go, and my authority will help you accomplish what I'm asking you to do. So through the process of baptism, you have confessed Christ before mankind. You have identified yourself with God the Father. You have identified yourself with God the Son, and you have identified yourself with God the Holy Spirit. And symbolically, you were buried with Christ, but you were raised to walk in a brand new life. Now, prior to praying to receive Christ, we lived like the world. We acted like the world. And we had to use only the tools that the world used. Today, as Christians, we have things that the world does not have. You have God, you have Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. Okay? The old life has gone. Will Satan try to resurrect it? Yes, he will. But you're the one with God's authority that needs to put it down. And you need to begin to live like Christ is actually living in you, because he is, but you need to begin to live as a child of God. The world says you are nothing. You and I have to sit back to go, you're wrong. I am a child of the Most High God. Someone goes, but you were an alcoholic. No, 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 no. I used to be an alcoholic, but I am a child of the Most High God. And we need to begin to operate. We need to begin to walk. We need to begin to act. Not that we're better than anybody, but you and I need to understand who we are. And we are children of the Most High God. And we ought to represent ourselves as the ambassador that Christ has asked us to be for the kingdom's good. Now, in Romans 10, again, it says, if you confess. In John 14, 6, it says, Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Now, I've shared this with you before. We live in a very multi-cultural society. There are all different kinds of beliefs, okay? People will tell you today that Allah is the same as God. And I'm here to tell you today that Allah has a self-appointed leader by the name of Muhammad. You and I worship God, who has a son by the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. They do not go together. Allah and Christ do not go together. And you and I need to begin to understand that, because if someone says we worship the same God, you and I go, no, we don't. I worship the Lord God Almighty. I worship the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is who I worship. See, because without Christ, we cannot get into God's presence. And candidly, we need God in our life every day. Now, also, when you pray to receive Christ, and we baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, you get three things. First of all, you get God. God is the God of all gods. He is the King of all kings. He is the Lord of all lords. He is the great I am. He is everything that you and I need in our life. But number two, you get a Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. See, because without Christ, you can't get to God. And then you get the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit provides us the power sometimes just to take one more step after you and I have been beat down by the world, okay? So your identity is that you're a child of God with God, the Father, Christ, who is the Son, and our mediator, the Holy Spirit, who is our power. But again, we go, we now are children of the Most High God. And then you and I need to begin to act like it. In Matthew 28:6, it says, he is not here. So the Bible says in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Why is that so important that we have to believe that God raised Christ from the dead? Well, here's the newsflash. If he didn't raise his son from the dead, he ain't raising you and me from the dead either, okay? Because we were dead in sin. And if somebody says today that miracles don't happen, go look in the mirror, and whoever you're looking at that's looking back at you, and you're a born-again believer, you're a walking, talking, breathing miracle, because you were once dead in sin, but because Christ, you've been raised as a brand new person. Now, I got to tell you, that's kind of get exciting for all of us, because you were dead.
Yes.
Okay? D-E-A-D, okay? At the PD, we called it D-R-T, dead right there, okay? That was just kind of one of our sayings. But y'all were D-R-T. You were dead right there wherever you were prior to Christ. But Christ came in us. Christ resurrected us. We are now living, breathing, talking individuals that are spiritual people who have been raised by our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? But now Matthew 28 says, he's not here. For he's risen. Just as he said. And I love the picture. Depending on who wrote it, one of the passages said, when they went to go anoint Jesus' body, their concern was who's going to roll the stone away. Well, when they got there, the Bible passage says there's a little cocky angel sitting on top of the stone. Okay? I mean, Jesus got an attitude. I mean, you know, Jesus got to have fun with this. But, you know, they walked up. Here's this angel sitting up there, and he's going, hey, man, what's up? I know why you're here. I even know who you're looking for. But he ain't here. He'd gone just as he said he was. And then the other passage is so cool, it's kind of like, come here, come here, come here. Man, you ain't going to believe it. Come here, man, I got to show you something. Come here. This is so cool. He was here, but he's not here. He's gone, man. He's gone. He rose just as he said he did. And, you know, we laugh about it, but sometimes you and I, because we are so stubborn, hard-headed, y'all are, some of y'all are going, yeah, I told you he was. That's where it is. But sometimes the Lord's got to lead us over here to go check it out. He's not here. He has risen just like he said. Amen. Now, I know there's not too many hard-headed people in here, but there's a few, okay? Now, John 11, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Amen. Amen. But then he asked the question, do you believe this? Well, sometimes we do and sometimes we don't. But 1 Corinthians 6:14 says, now God has not only raised the Lord, but he will also raise your ugly self.
Hallelujah.
Okay? Up through his power. But you see, Satan wants you to think that you're trash. Satan wants you to go, you are useless. Satan wants you to remind and remember the past. But don't forget that the past has been washed away.
Amen.
Our God's got one of them big old pencils with the big eraser, and he's done this. And we come to him to go, Lord. He goes, what sin? I don't remember. I don't know. But you and I got to understand that he raised Christ from the dead, and he has raised us from the dead, and we need to stop acting like we're dead, and we need to start acting like we're alive and let people see the resurrection power that is truly inside of us. Now, baptism, church, is a symbolic reminder of who we are because of our relationship with Christ and what Christ does to man. And it makes us a new person. I didn't say perfect, but a new person. Because the old is gone, the new has come. And just as the vinegar changes the pickle, so does the relationship with Christ change the man. And if you think about it, my grandmother and them used to do all the pickling and stuff. We just got to eat pickled pig's feet. I don't know if you ever had those. Yeah. Some of y'all like that? I had to knock off all that other stuff yet before she did. Boy, we would sit down and grandma go, okay, here's what we're going to eat, some pickles, pig's feet. And I'm like, you eating them? I'm not eating them. Gosh, I know where them feet were, and I don't want to be a part of it, okay? But anyhow, the thing is, just as much as that vinegar changes the pickle, the relationship with Christ has to change us, because if not, you're not there where Christ truly wants you to be. Now, Galatians 2:20 says we've been crucified with Christ, okay? Now, grab hold of this, and I really want you to see this, because this is kind of the accumulation of the Christian life. It says we've been crucified with Christ, and if you read it real quick, it's like, oh, okay. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. All right? Matthew 10:38 says, and he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Okay? This doesn't mean that you pray to receive Christ, you sit your backside on your seat, and you never do anything again. That is not what God saved you for. God saved you to get up, to go make disciples, and save other people. But a true disciple has to take up his cross, he has to follow Jesus, but he must be willing to face not only family hatred. Now, I got to tell you, when I prayed to receive Christ and I went home and told my mom and dad that I was going to be a pastor, I ain't got to tell you to look on their face. I meant they knew who I was. They knew my life. And they knew that I was an alcoholic and everything else that was combined with it. And it was hard for them. And when Pam and I devoted so much time to the church, they couldn't understand it. But it was like, this is our life. This is what we do. But also, you have to be willing to face death in the same manner as a criminal carries his cross to his own execution. Now, I want you to see the picture. If you are truly a Christian, then you have to be willing to pick up your cross And in the old days, when people picked up their cross and they had to carry it, they identified with the Roman government that they had sinned. Well, when you and I pick up the cross today, we're doing the same thing. We're saying, Lord, we are sinners. And yes, we should have been put to death, but you saved us. You took care of us. But when you pick up your cross, it is as if you are signing your death certificate because you are dying to flesh. That means no longer will flesh live in your life. You will live a spiritual life from this day forward according to the rules and the precepts and the commands of our Lord. Now, after being baptized, the Bible says that Jesus came up immediately from the water. And I love it. It says, behold, and the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descend as a dove, and it was laid upon him. But church, I want you to see the last slide. That crucifixion scene should be us. You and I should be the ones that were nailed on that cross. Don't know if you ever saw the movie Passion. I saw it one time and I will never watch it again to see what the Lord went through for you and me. But we should be on that cross. But even yet, while we were still enemies, he says, I'm going to take your place. Well, we know that he was buried and on the third day he rose again from the dead. And you and I have the same resurrection power in us that raised Christ from the dead. Every day that you get up, every time you hold his book, every time you get to come to church, it ought to be a day of celebration for what God has done for us. Amen? But here's the greatest thing of all. God has done more for you and me than we could ever ask or imagine. And when you have prayed to receive Christ, the heavens opened up and the blessings have flown down. And if you and I would accept what Christ has done, every day we could be water walking Christians. Every day we could accomplish through his authority more than you and I could ever ask or ever think. He's an awesome God. He loves us, and it's time for us to be his ambassador for him. Amen. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise.
Yes,
so next time you see someone go through the waters of